At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Already, you just heard what I had to say about Joe Biden, folks. Now let's hear what Congressman Comer has to say about him.
We're very concerned now that Joe Biden was using pseudonyms to hide the fact that he was working with his son to peddle access to our enemies around the world in exchange for wire transfers that we've already discovered that went to shell companies or fake companies while he was vice president. So let's just think about this. The vice president at the time, Joe Biden, was using fake names in emails. And he also was working with his family to set up fake companies to receive wires from foreign nationals that were then laundered into at least 9 family members' bank accounts. I mean, this is one of the worst stories that I've ever heard with respect to any type of leader in the history of our country.
It would obviously, you know, lead you, I'm sure, to question where the money is and where did it ultimately end up. Could you share an update on sort of the process of tracking down alleged payments to folks with the last name Biden?
Yeah, I mean, we've got $21 million thus far in bank accounts that were the part of wire transfers from foreign nationals to shell companies. And again, I can't reemphasize this enough. Shell companies are fake companies, just like a pseudonym. A pseudonym is a fake name. The same thing with these companies that were receiving the initial wires from these foreign nationals. And again, these were bad people in bad countries that were paying the Bidens tens of millions of dollars for reasons we don't know. All we know is, according to Devin Archer, they were selling the brand, and the brand was Joe Biden. We know that one of the instances of a potential policy decision that was made was Joe Biden has already admitted that he flew to Ukraine and withheld tax dollars to fire a prosecutor who was investigating his son's corrupt energy company. I mean, this is really bad stuff. And every week we find more information, more pseudonyms, more communication between Joe Biden and his family, more shell companies, more wire transfers. So this is getting worse by the day. And what we want to know a couple of more bank accounts that we believe that the president's son was using to pay for things of value for Joe Biden. So this is where we are in this investigation. We're at the point to where we're probably going to head to court to try to get some more bank records. But this is an investigation of Joe Biden, and I don't think the Democrats, you know, they've defended Joe Biden for nearly a year now. Can they defend the pseudonyms? Can they defend the payments going to things of value for Joe Biden? That's where the Democrats are going to have a come-to-Jesus moment and decide how much longer they could defend the indefensible with respect to Joe Biden.
With respect to the emails, I know that you said that you had copies on and some of them were redacted. We actually have one, I believe, that is not redacted that we've got our hands on here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just kind of a zoom in here. And this is from one of the alleged pseudonyms, Robert L. Peters, CC Hunter Biden on that. And it says, boss, 8:45 a.m., prep for 9 a.m. phone call with President Poroshenko. This is just one. Where does your mind go when you see that?
Well, I see that connects Hunter Biden to Joe Biden. At the time when Devin Archer said he was being squeezed by Burisma, by the owners, to call Washington for help. Now, remember, we already found an FBI 1023 form that alleged Joe Biden and Hunter Biden both took bribes from this guy who was squeezing Hunter Biden to call Washington, D.C. for help. Then Joe Biden, using a pseudonym, copies his son right before he leaves to go to Ukraine, at the same time he was being pressured to call Washington for help. It looks to me like Joe Biden was saying, okay, son, you send that to the owner Burisma and tell him help is on the way. Tell him daddy's coming and he's going to save us all. And that's what it looks like has happened. And they used a pseudonym to disguise it. That's why, you know, I tell people when they say, why is it taking so long in this investigation? The pseudonyms are just an example. They have done everything in their ability to block and obstruct this investigation. Joe Biden wants to say he's the most transparent president in the United States. That's bullcrap. He's the least transparent president in the United States. If he were innocent, he would be cooperating with this committee and trying to save his good name. But he continues to act like there's nothing to see here. When that email on the screen is a government email where Joe Biden was using a pseudonym and he copied his son about a shady, shady transaction where Joe Biden was going to leverage American tax dollars to save his son's butt and probably his own butt if that FBI form's right, that he took a bribe. So I think this is very concerning.
Could you talk to us about the timing of this all? Again, the allegations that this might have taken place before President Biden was in the Oval Office, does that impact what the House of Representatives might be able to do when it comes to inquiries, even opening one up about potential impeachment, as I know some of your GOP colleagues have called for?
It happened while he was Vice President of the United States. And what we're concerned is we have no doubt the president, the vice president, is probably the most corrupt vice president in the history of America. You've already seen too many things where his family was creating these fake companies. They were getting all these wires from foreign nationals. They can't explain what they were doing to get this money. Does that compromise him as being president of the United States? Is that why he's soft on China? Is that why Joe Biden continues to put China first and America last? Because his family received millions and millions of dollars from China. Is that why we're giving Ukraine a blank check for their war against Russia? Is that because he accepted the bribe, like the FBI form said? Is it because he was sharing government information with his son and he leveraged tax dollars to fire that prosecutor, Shokin, who was investigating his son? I mean, these are legitimate questions, and there is more than enough evidence that would suggest the House of Representatives needs to take this at least to the point of impeachment inquiry.
All righty, we are back, and folks, listen. Here, there's also, they say the big shoe is going to drop. It's going to drop here very soon, sometime between now and October. But here, Gail Luft, John, you're familiar with Gail Luft?
I can't say I am, Pastor Ernie.
He's the whistleblower. He was a high-up whistleblower, and he has come out. Now, he was supposed to go before Congress because he cut a deal with him, so he would get immunity by going there and giving testimony. But he says that he was a part of an operation. He was a part of an operation with Jim Biden and Hunter Biden selling arms to China and Iran. So here, the DOJ had a mole, and in this mole in the DOJ, they call him One Eye, has been sharing information with and tipping off Biden's Hunter's lawyers, and also he tipped off Patrick Ho to the investigation. By there were some actual real FBI agents that were not on the take, that were dirty. Some actual real FBI agents who were investigating this. And so, again, this the mole tipped off them. And so here again, what we're seeing, and by the way, Merrick Garland just came out and said that he's not going to cooperate at all with Jim Jordan in the investigation because he wants his two FBI agents to come forward and give testimony before Congress, and he says they can't do it because the investigation is ongoing. And you and I both know that he's just doing everything he can to run interference and protect the Biden crime family. And so,
yeah, they'll run the clock out, Pastor Ernie. They'll just say it's an ongoing investigation, ongoing investigation, ongoing investigation, and they'll use that as to run the clock out.
Yep, that's exactly what they're doing. So, anyhow, but I think there's some very large stuff coming out very soon on Biden, and You know, I think this is all going to backfire on with Trump. By the way, Trump came out and says he can and he will pardon all of the January 6th patriots. That he will pardon all of the January 6th patriots. And you know what? Every one of them, Judge Chukin, Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, especially Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi was
the
one
who was... Judge Kelly also.
Yeah. All of those people need to be tried for treason, huh?
Yeah.
Every one of them. And so, and they think it's funny.
Pastor Ernie, if someone uses their position in government, like as a prosecuting attorney or as a judge, to, I don't know what the actual law there is against that, but there I'm sure there's a law that if you use your position and power to persecute someone, I mean, take them to trial, have the court, all the expense of that, they should be put in jail for what they've done.
Yeah, especially they should be in that same dirty jail.
Especially this guy Smith.
Yeah, he should be in that same dirty jail where a number of the patriots have been sitting for 2 years without a trial, without a hearing.
Without due process.
Without due process, right. And so they should be, not only should they be put in jail, but each and every one of them, especially Nancy Pelosi, should be sued personally for abusing their position in office.
Right, right.
Yeah. They are
abusing their authority, absolutely.
Yeah. Here's one, Joe Biggs. He sobs in court after he is sentenced to 17 years. Observers in the courtroom broke out in tears as Judge Timothy Kelly sentenced Joseph Biggs to 204 months in prison for walking into the Capitol for approximately 20 minutes during the Capitol riot on January 6th. The government sought 33 years for Biggs. Kelly ceded to defense that the sentencing was too egregious. Can you believe this? He thought 17 years in prison would be enough for this hero. So Kelly noted prior offenders who were found guilty of seditious conspiracy had all murdered people, attempted to be murdered, masses of people, bombed or attempted to bomb buildings, or committed other violent crimes and resulted in mass casualties. And yet, none of these people, these are Christian patriots, you know, Little Miss Babbitt, she was trying to calm people down when she was murdered by that cowardly, dirty cop in D.C. And folks, it's just unbelievable. So here, again, President Trump says when he gets back in office, folks, and you people out there, for no other reason to go out and support Trump, that is alone right there.
Yeah.
That he will pardon all of those people.
You know, yeah, Pastor Ernie, there is no statute of limitations for murder. So with the election of Trump, that cop, Captain Byrd, there's no problem going after him for murder.
Yeah, and there was another one too, a female who beat a woman to death with a club while she was lying down. She needs to go to prison now. They all need to be in that dirty, filthy prison where the patriots are, huh?
Yeah, the gentleman you just talked about, his wife actually has cancer, and he's got a little daughter, a toddler, very young, and they wouldn't even allow any contact.
Yeah, I have a picture of her. She's like 3 years old.
Yeah, she's really small, but this is just a miscarriage of justice across the board.
Yeah. He was only in there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, they showed videos of him actually walking through there. That's all he did.
Yeah, I think what we need to do tonight in the program is close, and as we give an invitation, also pray that God would do, like, you know, we would have justice, that we would see justice, that these same people, this Judge Kelly and these others, would end up in that very dirty jail there in D.C., along with the mayor.
Yeah, a Haman moment, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's exactly what it would be, just like in Haman's when he had the gallows for Mordecai, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they were building the gallows to kill the Jews. So what happened was the king, was, I forget his name, Asverius, King Asverius, he allowed the Jews to use it against Haman, and he was hung on his own gallows.
Yep. All right, very good. You have an article there, Ron.
Yes. This goes back now to the ATF, but they're actually cracking down on firearm dealers, and it's at an alarming rate. According to the Wall Street Journal, the BATF has revoked the licenses of 122 dealers since October, which is up from 90 last year and 27 in 2021. Neither Trump nor Obama administration ever revoked more than 81 licenses since 2013.
Here's the ironic thing. These are the guys, these dealers, these legitimate gun dealers, they're the ones that are turning in the crooks.
Everything right, yeah.
The gun smugglers, right.
Yeah.
And so here, because of that, because the Biden regime is so crooked, it is so completely corrupt, that everything that is legal, they want to make illegal and turn around.
Yeah.
It is just completely and totally corrupt.
It's upside down at this point.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Michigan investigation, suspicious spikes in Michigan voter registration across the state occurred on the same day in the 2020 election. That's right. According to the far left, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. You know, it's a growing situation where a number of these women are witches. These women are witches, like the governor there of Michigan.
Yeah, Whitmer.
And Whitmer, like the one in New Mexico. She actually, in New Mexico, actually has the Church of Satan as a part of her administration there.
Yeah, I think she's the one that actually sends state money to them for abortions.
To the Church of Satan. Yeah. So they can sacrifice and they use the children. But it's a growing thing. Now, we've known for a long time. We told you all the way back in 1990 that Hillary Clinton was an actual witch. Okay, Drusilla was her witch name. You know, she headed up a witch covenant in California. She went back once a month. Okay, and here, the Gateway Pundit has been reporting that major voter registration fraud was found and investigated by both the city of Muskegon and the Michigan State Police. 2,500 fake registrations in just one day, and 8,000 to 10,000 submitted on another day. Nessel admitted this was true, according to Dana Nessel and her media allies. However, that is just proof that the system works, because the fraud was caught, and those fraudulent voter registrations were allegedly never added to the voter file. What a lie. This woman is unbelievable. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Ernie. And the population of the town is 30,000. They were talking about 8,000 to 10,000 fraudulent votes, and then another 2,500 was found later. So it was about 12,000 votes in a town of 30,000.
Yeah, that's what they did. Michigan local residents claim that this is a total lie and that all of those fraudulent applications were added to the voter rolls.
Right.
So
you had... You had 12,000 people added to the voter rolls of like 30,000 people in like one or two or three days.
And so Nessel, again, the corrupt, this very corrupt attorney general, could not refute the police reports because Michigan State Police and Muskegon Police have stood strongly behind their separate investigations. All right, I think we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. So the phone lines are not open. Listen. We've got Josh. We got the boss on the board tonight, okay? And so he might be here just to keep an eye on us.
You're
going to
get a report card.
All right, there you go. All right. So the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on the King James Bible. versus the New Age versus. We've been getting so many calls from people wanting to know, Pastor, why is it that you promote the King James Bible? Well, I haven't preached on this in a long time, but we're going to go into real detail. Now, Sunday morning, for the smartest people in the church Sunday morning come to the Bible study. Huh, Ron?
That's what I hear.
That's right. They come to the Bible study at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, and we have an in-depth Bible study. And then at about 9:45, we have another Bible study. And then the regular service starts around 11:15. But we're going to take a real close look at the different versions. Now, in fact, if we go over to Psalm 12, and in Psalm 12, we read in verses 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So I'm going to show you how that applies to the King James Bible. We're going to show you exactly how that applies, how it was purified seven times. And you had 54 men, most of whom never knew each other. They were all godly men, all men of reputation, all theologians, okay? And so let me ask you this. What are the odds if you can get three men together and be in complete harmony and agreement on a subject? Not good.
Not too good, yeah.
No. To get 54, and of course, there. Now I think about 10 of those men never really got to the point where they took part in that because they died, okay? Some got sick, some died. But about 44 of those men did work in total and complete harmony with the King James Bible. And we're going to show you what the differences between how superior it is in every way.
Yeah, and remember, Pastor Ernie, the Greek manuscript that it's based on, the Textus Receptus, you know, that's the main, for the New Testament.
We're going to take a look. Yeah. The Masoretic, yeah, for the Old Testament.
Right.
Do you know that the Old Testament...
The new ones are just nonsense, these manuscripts they've made to translate the Bible. That's why there's like a good part of Mark 16's missing.
We're going to get into all of that. I'm going to show you things that a lot of people just wouldn't believe. That is miraculous. But anyhow, we got to go to Michigan and take... Did you say... I'm Dan in Michigan. You're in the air.
Greetings, Pastor Sanders. Again, I'm just over on the other side of Lake Erie up here in Ontario. Again, another night. I'm an old man on a pension. I can't afford internet. And I got to rely on your show with AM radio. Again, it's a crystal clear night. I know what the heck is going on. I can barely get your show, and I got to hear the repeat broadcast on Monday morning. So anyways, I heard your show last night, the things I don't even want to discuss. But anyways, I'm on your side, and God bless you. I don't know what you have to say. Who's screwing with the radio signal? Is it the weather? I got a good AM radio, and there's no reason why I couldn't get you. This has gone on for years and years and years and years. So I don't know what you have to say, Pastor Sanders, but God bless you. And I don't even know whether I can get you over the radio.
Well, thanks for those kind words, Dan. And believe me, nobody knows better than me about it. Having problems with radio over for 50 years on the air, I've seen my few, and most of it, thank God, is got just to do with natural causes like the weather, sunspots, and things like that. But then there's been several times where they've tried to jam me on a number of occasions to try to take us down. And so, but I... All righty, thanks. Let's go out to Dallas. That's where... No, you're in Houston. John's in Houston. Let's go to Dave in Dallas. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Dave, you're in the air. Go ahead. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, well, this Steve, I got two questions. One's for John McTurner. I've been off work for a while. What happened to the other John that was always on Friday?
He went home to be with the Lord, John.
Yeah,
John.
Okay. John passed and went to be with the Lord, yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
My other question is, I was listening to Eric Metaxas, and he was talking about Merrick Garland, like on January 6th, if Trump was to get elected as president, which we all know he should, he's a legitimate president now, that Merrick Garland was going to cause all kinds of crud on January 6th and kind of supposed to done like what Pence does or should have done, and kind of hold up everything and said, we're going to have to dig into this more and see about all the corruption and everything.
Well, they can't do that now because they changed it. Here, Mike Pence came out. I heard him. He finally admitted that he had the authority to not certify that. And here's what he said. He said, can you imagine if I had not certified that election, then it would have gone to Congress to look into. Well, that's what we wanted. That's what we wanted, right?
Someone did look into it.
And now, since then, because of that, they changed the rules of that right after that so that the vice president no longer has that ability. But I'm sure the Republicans may want to change it back. I don't know. So there, you know, Merrick Garland's going to end up in jail, I think, himself. He's crooked as the day is long. He's lied. He's outright sat there, and I've watched him lie to Congress. He's broken every law, and he's just there to running a protection racket for the Biden crime family and the other crime criminals involved within the Democratic Party. He's a criminal to the bone. It would be very hard for Merrick Garland to prosecute anyone more corrupt or as corrupt as himself.
Well, I appreciate y'all. I try to get down here to Dallas so I can listen to this radio station. So,
all righty.
Thank y'all very much.
Thanks for calling. God bless. There you go. Anyhow, boy, it's just amazing. I've got this here. Very quickly, I'll get it. Hunter Biden flew with Joe Biden on numerous Air Force Two flights to 13 different countries, and several times they hid this from the public. When they watched here, they showed how they would sneak him in the back of the plane. They would bring Hunter Biden in the back of the plane, where the media, NBC, ABC, CBS, being in there, all knew that he was there hiding, but none of them would talk about it, okay? It shows you how they're a part of this Biden crime cartel. A part of the protection racket.
Cover-up,
yeah. This article by the Gateway Pundit that says, there has never, ever been a more crooked family in politics than the Biden family. Joe Biden flew his son Hunter and with him on Air Force Two to 13 different countries, according to newly discovered records. On several of these trips, Hunter Biden was hidden from public view or was already waiting in the car before Joe departed the plane. Oversight Committee Chair James Comer joined Greg Kelly on Newsmax to discuss the latest revelations about the Biden crime family. These 5,400 emails, are you confident in the number? I asked the archives presented, do you, with that number, is that true? And Comer said, yes, we are confident in the number. Those are what he was just speaking in that clip about earlier there. All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
What would you say if someone decided that Shakespeare's plays, Charles Dickens' novels, or the music of Beethoven could be rewritten and improved? I'll be right back. Writing in the journal The Alternative, Richard Hanser, author of The Law and the Prophets and Jesus, What Manner of Man Is This?, has called attention to something that is more than a little mind-boggling. It's my understanding that the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, has been the best-selling book in the entire history of printing. Now another attempt has been made to improve it. I say another because there have been several fairly recent efforts to, quote, make the Bible more readable and understandable, unquote. But as Mr. Hanser so eloquently says, for more than 3.5 centuries, its language and its images have penetrated more deeply into the general culture of the English-speaking world and been more dearly treasured than anything else ever put on paper. He then quotes the irreverent H.L. Mencken, who spoke of it as purely a literary work, and said it was probably the most beautiful piece of writing in any language. They were, of course, speaking of the authorized version, the one that came into being when the England of King James was scoured for translators and scholars. It was a time when the English language had reached its peak of richness and beauty. Now we're to have the Good News Bible, which will be in, quote, the natural English of everyday adult conversation. Well, I'm sure the scholars and clergymen supervised by the American Bible Society were sincerely imbued with the thought that they were taking religion to the people with their Good News Bible. But I can't help feeling we should instead be taking the people to religion and lifting them with beauty of language that has outlived the centuries. Mr. Hanser has quoted from both the St. James Version and the Good News Bible some well-known passages for us to compare. A few thousand years ago, Job said, "How forcible are right words." The new translators would have him saying, "Honest words are convincing." That's only for openers. There is the passage, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Is it really an improvement to say instead, "The wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts"? In the New Testament, according to Matthew, we read, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way." The Good News Version translates that into, "Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready." It sounds like a straw boss announcing lunch hour is over. The hauntingly beautiful 23rd Psalm is the same in both versions, for a few words. "The Lord is my shepherd." But instead of continuing with the, "I shall not want," we're supposed to say, "I have everything I need." The Christmas story has undergone some modernizing, but one can hardly call it an improvement. The wondrous words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," has become, "Don't be afraid, I'm here with good news for you." The sponsors of the Good News Version boast that their Bible is as readable as the daily paper, and so it is. But do readers of the daily news find themselves moved to wonder, quote, "at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth," unquote? Mr. Hanser suggests that, sadly, the tinkering and general horsing around with the sacred text will no doubt continue as pious drudges try to get it right. It will not dawn on them that it has already been gotten right. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Boy, did President Reagan, again, one of our greatest presidents we've ever had,
yeah.
Boy, did he get that right, okay? And so, just another one, our legitimate president, the actual legitimate president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will not appear for arraignment. He enters a not guilty plea in Georgia in that RICO case. There you go. And, I can tell you, he's a strategist. The problem of it is the others, the outside, the dark side, the deep state, they're filled with snakes, okay? And betrayers. And those people, you know, we've seen what happened in God's Word, the Bible, to the Ahithophels and the Judases. And God's the same today, tomorrow, forever. He doesn't miss anything, does he?
No.
Okay. John, do you have an article there?
I have lots of them, Pastor Ernie.
Go for it, man.
All right. American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists supports no limits on abortion.
Let's pray against them right now. And I'm going to ask all the folks out there, folks, there is power in prayer. Listen to me. Believe me. We wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't. You can make a difference right now without leaving your home. If enough of you pray, God hears the prayers, okay? And let's pray against this wicked organization, because what they're doing, You know, the Bible says that, that the angels of the children are before the Lord continuously. And the Bible says that woe unto them that harm one of these little ones. And again, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, he gave us five very clear points in that, that institution. And the third point was the one was the most important, because it was the entire purpose of divine human government given to the Noah, given to the Noah covenant in Genesis 9 verses 5 through 7. And the entire purpose of human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. And so this organization of the gynecologists, what is their official name?
Obstetrician, hang on here, Pastor Ernie. Let me get back to it. The official name is American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.
All right, I'm going to ask the people to pray for with me that God would come against the American College of Obstetrician and Gynecologists. So people out there, would you join and pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord God, these are wicked people. There are wicked people, Father God. It seems like what they've done is they appoint others as wicked as themselves. They're about money, Lord God. They have put the sewers in America. Our sewers run red with the blood of the innocent people. And these people, they shake that rebellious fist in your face and say, so what is God going to do to us? Okay. Why should we obey this God? Well, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're asking you right now. Lord, we're not asking you to send them to the burning lake of fire. We're asking you to bring them to repentance. And whatever it takes, Lord God, I mean whatever it takes to bring these bloody and wicked, ungodly, evil people of that American College of Obstetrician and Gynecologists, these wicked, evil, bloody, wicked people. And Lord, I want to add Planned Predators. Everyone that works at Planned Parenthood into this, they're as evil gets, Father God. Lord, I pray that whatever it takes, Lord, that whatever a plague, you said that you will send plagues that no one's even heard of yet, that you even heard of. Whatever it takes to bring these ungodly, wicked, evil people to repentance, Father God, we're asking that you do that. We're asking that you hear the prayers of your people. You've told us to have righteous indignation, and we do. You told us to be angry but sin not, and that's what we're doing here. We're being in obedience to you, Father. And you've told us that resistance to tyranny is always obedience, and we resist this wicked, evil tyranny. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Alrighty, there you go. John, you talked about I'm trying to remember the title of the church. The churches, the article we had about on your blog about
Let me find that, Pastor Ernie. It's about the church melting away, and what's behind America's great de-churching? That's the name of the article.
Yeah. Well, in that article, they talk about, they keep talking about how, of course, we know that the Catholic Church is losing members at a huge rate, but here is, they don't seem to understand that it's not all Catholics or Protestant. They have no understand about Baptists or fundamentals. See, Baptists are not Protestant, okay? People don't realize that. Baptists are not a denomination. A Baptist is a doctrine. You find that in Hebrews chapters 5 and 6, okay? They're a doctrine. The Baptist doctrine is what we are. And so we're seeing fundamentalist, unregistered New Testament Baptist churches are growing in number, and people are leaving. And by the way, the Southern Baptist Church is not Baptist at all. It's Protestant. In fact, only probably, my guesstimate would probably be maybe 10 to 12% at most of that have Baptists in their name are actually Baptists. The vast majority are Protestant, but they have Baptist in their name. And we're growing in numbers. Across the new churches that are opening, unregistered New Testament churches They're opening where the others are dying. You see more and more are leaving the United Methodist, United Church of the Antichrist, right here, headquartered. They have virtually become satanic, So, again, the World International Council of Churches, they're dwindling and dwindling. They're dying in number. And so people don't understand. God is moving, and they don't see it. God is judging America today, but the vast majority of people are la-la landers. They're clueless. They're absolutely, they don't understand. They don't understand, John, what is happening to the children, what is happening to our society, the lack of morality. They don't understand. This is a judgment, and it starts. And they're trying to tell you, the Bible, that it starts in the churches and in the pulpits. And, well, there's only a few of us that understand that. What do you think?
Well, the Bible's very clear, Pastor Ernie, that the Lord, what we've gone down, the road that America's gone down, God says that he will judge. And he uses the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we can look at these incredible disasters that are happening, and then we can look at the political judgment that's on us. We can look at the social judgment on us. The whole homosexual agenda is right out of Romans 1, Pastor. It's right out of Romans chapter 1.
I know. You actually wrote a book on all of that. You gave examples that people were blind to, that we could see, but people were blind to. Like in Katrina, and like at the World Series in San Francisco. It went right on by the world, huh?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. I have a whole... that's another book. It's called God's Final Warning to America. And I have a whole series of events like you just mentioned, dealing when the Supreme Court made a decision about homosexuality, there'd be a gigantic earthquake. Stock market crashes tied to events like that. I mean, same-day events.
How about Kitty Bigport, where Bush, were on that same day that he made that decision against Israel?
Yeah, that was the Madrid peace process.
Yeah.
And October 30th, 1991, he spoke in Madrid, Spain, about dividing the land of Israel. And that very day, the perfect storm destroyed his house there in Kennebunkport, Maine.
Right. In a few very days before Katrina hit there, we had the mayor of New Orleans on the radio program, and he... We didn't have him out. We had the two pastors that were there talking to him, telling him, pleading with him to cancel the Sodomite, the Southern Decadence. And anyhow, we had those two men on there, and they were telling us about the conversation they had. That mayor laughed, and he blasphemed God. He laughed and he blasphemed God, okay? And he went against these two pastors. And what happened there, right after that, God vomited them out. The Sodomites, that they were having the Sodomite, the LGBTQ Sodomite parade. Katrina came in, and like the Bible said, it spewed them out. And guess what happened to that mayor, John?
He went to jail.
He went to prison. He's still there.
Pastor Ernie, New Orleans was such a wicked city, and you mentioned it. It was called Southern Decadence. And when I first heard about it, I thought it was like, well, you know, like someone made the name up. I mean, you're going to call an event? So, yeah, and that's exactly what it was. And it was so wicked there in that city that the legislature of Louisiana had to force the police in New Orleans to arrest open wickedness in the streets. I can't even tell you what it was, Pastor Ernie. But that's how decadent New Orleans well, I guess maybe you could say still is, but the police were forced to enforce the law about public indecency.
They just had yesterday, and I can't remember what city it was, but they had a naked bike riding where all these people, hundreds of them, were riding their bikes naked down, and they do this every year. All of them, I'm trying to remember the name of that city, but there used to be morality, wasn't there?
Yeah. Parades used to be really nice.
Yeah, it's a... We've been talking about this, all of these things that we're seeing, the degeneration, like you said, in Romans 1 describes it perfectly, John. These are all... Yeah.
When you read Romans chapter 1, when God gives up on a nation, homosexuality comes to the top. When God's judging a nation for its wickedness, he turns it over to... It talks about the burning of lust and men after men, women after women. That's a sign that God has judged a nation.
The nation has become reprobate. And again, what we have to do, there's got to be repentance before there can be revival, huh? There's got to be repentance.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand, Pastor Ernie. You know, crying out to the Lord in repentance and then praying and asking for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Well, there are a lot of us doing that in this country. I know I'm actually overwhelmed with people, pro-God, pro-family organizations, wanting me to be a part of their organization, you know, and you can only do so much. I mean, you know, we're doing all that we can right here. I mean, we have a full-time job. We're overwhelmed just trying to keep up with the stuff that's happening with us, much less. But the good news is we have all of these different organizations out there that are coming up, and the good news is parents are starting to awaken and pulling their children out of the public school system. But we're going to be coming to, it's going to come to a climax here between the right and the left, and as we see, the Church of Satan is rising. It's the fastest growing church in the country right now. And again, it has become the official, unofficial church of the Democratic Party. Right now, today, we're there, Satanism. The Church of Satan is there.
Yeah, so. Pastor Ernie, I want to give a good news here. I mean, the Lord called me into this ministry in 1987, and I didn't know anyone that could see what I could see, correlating how God was warning America. And from that time to this, there is a real solid remnant here that's crying out to the Lord, Pastor, and interceding, crying out for America. And we want all our listeners to be a part of that, Pastor Ernie. We want them to be a part of that, the remnant crying out that God would send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're going to end up here with the Nazi Germany and communist Russia. They're coming for us. They're not going to stop, Pastor Ernie, until we stop them.
I hear you. Here in Ohio, there's a big increase in the amount of churches that are being attacked and vandalized. So, we're seeing like churches like ours, we're not a church they want to do that to, because we hold to the Word of God very clearly. Anyhow, you got 5 minutes, John, to give an invitation. Can you do her? I'll give you a minute notice.
Okay. All right. Folks, one thing about this show that's maybe unique compared to others is we clearly show you the evil as it's manifesting. There's no gray area. It's really black or white. And as Pastor Ernie has been saying, the Democrat Party, it's evil what they're doing. It's evil to kill babies in the womb. It's evil. It's not just political. It's evil. It's the homosexual agenda is evil. There is a good and there is an evil. Good is from God. to take young children and tamper with their agendas and try and turn boys into girls. This is despicable evil. And really, you got to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Beyond that, to the days of Noah, to find such behavior, such sin as we see now. So it's manifesting. Evil is clear right in front of us. So God is, if evil is there, God is there also as good. And the love of God towards us, in spite of all this evil and the sin that people are doing. If woke people happen to be listening to this show, God will forgive you for what you're doing through Jesus Christ. So God's remedy, God's measure, his way of reconciling us in all our sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And no one can go to heaven with sin on them, not one sin. God is holy. Sin cannot be in his presence. He sent Jesus Christ out of love. He sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, a part of him. He sent to become one of us. He was a perfect man, and yet the Son of only begotten Son of God, to die on the cross. Willingly, he died on the cross, shed his blood, so the penalty for our sin could be placed on him. And that his righteousness, he was without sin, could be placed on us. And that's what allows us to go to heaven, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Nothing else. No amount of good works can get you to heaven, because one sin, that's all you need, is one sin, will block it. So to have salvation in Jesus Christ with assurance of eternal life, you need to believe that he was the only begotten Son of God that died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sin, that he was buried. 3 days later, he bodily rose from the dead. Literally, there was a bodily resurrection. And the Bible says because he rose from the dead, that everybody will also be raised from the dead, some to everlasting life and some to eternal damnation, what's called the lake of fire.
1 minute.
And that Christ is returning again, and he's coming for us. So what you do is repent, means you do an about face. You're walking your whole life without Christ in sin, about face. Now you're turning to him and his word. You believe, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, shed his blood on the cross, died for you, bodily rose from again, and then you get in his word, you stay with Jesus Christ, and you will have assurance of eternal life. And in addition, God becomes our Abba Father. So God bless everybody, and Pastor Ernie, there can't be much time left.
Well, there's not, and again, that's the most important thing anyone has ever done or could ever do, is to receive eternal life. I mean, that's it. Well, we're up at that point where we get to every night at this time, where we always say good night. And then after we say good night, we go on and we tell the folks, we ask them, we say God bless. And then at this time every night, we always get to the point where we say, always, always, always,
always, right? Always.
That's right. Keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.